My hair. Live coverage of April astrology. Welcome aboard, everyone. Are you okay with a little chaos? April is definitely the most hot, spicy months of the year, and it's not just because the sun's in Aries. In this video, we're going to talk through exactly what this looks like and why, what is it that we need to be aware of and how to navigate effectively so we come out because you know what? May is going to be awesome. May's got some great astrology. So just know there is hope at the end of this month. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name's Irliana, and this is Star Sound Speaks, the Star Sound Speaks podcast. And I am a Hellenistic astrologer who also blends modern astrology, modern archetypes, and I use the tropical zodiac and whole sign houses. Okay, and if you are interested in a session, I do those. You can get one for an eclipse reading or just your natal chart interpretation. This year, next year, natal, I cover it all. Electional too. If you're planning to start a business or launch an important project, we can find the best times to do that. That will give you the best chance for success. So, all of that said, let's move on. Okay, so in this video, I'm going to just talk from the beginning of the month on. By the way, before I do, I just want to say, as I've said before in podcasts about eclipse season, eclipses, as we know, they are very out of time and it's non-linear. One of my first astrology teachers, Renee, she used to say eclipses bring magical, incongruous, non-linear change. And so here's an example of that. I happened to be on LinkedIn recently, and I saw a post from one of the people that is one of our fans here, and she's so kind. She's this wonderful lady, Marie Joie. Her name is Marie Joie, and she is a fashion designer. And she posted on LinkedIn this beautiful picture of a model in these amazing yoga pants. And it turns out that she's a fashion designer, and she designed. It's a company called MagicalYogiWear.com. I'll put the link below. Beautiful things. And but she's very spiritual, and she melds spirituality with her fashion. That is putting it mildly. But anyway, she had this really beautiful post because she's like an excellent writer too, very creative. And she posted about, very empowering messages, being in our sovereignty and such. But the way she worded it, it was exactly the message of the lunar eclipse, solar eclipse season. And so I let her know. I said, wow, you've like nailed the zeitgeist. It's really fascinating to see how it comes through in people's writing and what you see out in the news and all these archetypes at play. So anyway, she's real sweet. And she sent me these beautiful a pair of pants, yoga pants and yoga wear. I'm wearing the long pants, but I want to show you. This is what it looks like. It's better if I just show them instead of modeling them. I couldn't get them on camera. It was a pain in the butt. It was a pain in the butt to get them on camera. But anyway, let me just move this over and look at these pants. Aren't these cute? I mean, the designs are like, look at, see, there's the Sri Yantra, which is the symbol in yoga. The Sri Yantra is that is the sound. If you were to say Om, this is how it shows up. The sound frequency of Om is the Sri Yantra. Isn't that beautiful? The sacred geometry there. And the look at the butterflies and all the, I mean, it's just gorgeous. And I love like pink and green and these beautiful colors. But anyway, yeah, all these hand designs with these beautiful symbols in them. So there's the cute little yoga pants and then the matching yoga, long yoga with a stretchy elastic waist, and they're so comfortable, and I love them. They're amazing. So, shout out Marie Joie. Thank you for your beauty, your love, your commitment to the light. You must follow her on Instagram. It's amazing. I'll put a link to that below too. And if you are not on my mailing list, and you want to get a coupon for getting a sale price on these things, I'm going to just send me an email, irliana@starsoundastrology.com, and I'm going to be putting out my mail shortly, my mail list, and so everybody on my mailing list will get this code. And if you happen to miss that mailing, just send me an email, and I'll put you on the list, and we'll get you the code, so you too can enjoy these beautiful creations. So anyway, okay. But that the fact, why am I saying all that? Because another way, it's like I have this new friend. I have a new friendship. So the South Node in Libra is like you're creating friendships and connections, the beauty of them, but we're doing it in new ways, North Node Aries. And so this is like a new beginning. And I'm reconnecting and with also with fashion. She doesn't know this, but I used to work in fashion PR many, many years ago when I lived in New York. I worked in fashion PR. So it was really interesting to kind of see this South Node Libra. Oh, I'm reconnecting with fashion, but in a new way. I'm not the fashion PR publicist, but I am certainly giving a shout out in this way. So anyway, all right, so let's move on. All right, we have here, by the way, I have the next video will be I do have that USA progress chart is coming up, an incredible something that happened on that happened within 3 hours of the lunar eclipse of Monday, March 25th. At that same time, the USA chart created, it was an entire new cycle beginning. It's an 89-year cycle. So it's not only just this, it's just amazing and auspicious that it happened in the eclipse window. But anyway, the new moon, there's a progressed new moon that just happened, just started this week. And what is the ramifications of that? And what does that mean? And what does that mean for the United States? I have been looking at this chart, the progressed chart, where the US has progressed since its founding. And I've been looking at this for months and ruminating and meditating on it and taking a lot of notes. And I finally put the video together. It's just in the editing phase. Ah, my eyes. I have to like take it easy and not, my eyes hurt when I sit in front of the iMovie for too long. So thank you. Bear with me with patience. Anyway, so that'll be coming. And we did an amazing wonderful with Andrea Michelle. We did the solar eclipse, so stay tuned for that one too. I think you'll really love it. The one, if you haven't heard the one that she did on the lunar eclipse, please do. It's important to look at lunar and solar. Remember, the eclipses are not Super Bowls. They're not like, oh, there's this event and it's over. It's a seed that's planted that plays out over months and sometimes years. So just to say that, look at the archetypes and the messages pre being presented in both, because there is what we need to let go of, the South Node lunar eclipse, and what we are here to embrace, North Node solar eclipse. Okay, so we start April. April Fool Day happens to be Mercury. Mercury the trickster goes retrograde on April Fool's Day. Isn't that funny? It's like, what a month. So yeah, just an extra wink there. It goes retrograde. Most of the month is going to be Mercury retrograde. He doesn't come back and station direct and move direct in the sky until April 25th, which of course apparently looks like it's moving backwards, but we all know it's an illusion. But Mercury retrograde always brings magical reconnections with people from our past. The thing that makes it even more important this time around is that it is a major part of the solar eclipse story, this retrograde Mercury in Aries, and I'm going to explain that shortly. But just so you know that, it speaks very loud. It's also in a cardinal sign, Aries, new beginnings, bravery, courage. So we are re-examining and revisiting where we maybe have been afraid and a fear of speaking up or being our authentic selves and making these our mindset. Mercury is about the mind, it's about writing. It also has to do with siblings and cousins and in-laws and neighbors, but also with communication, learning, right? Learning and teaching, learning, all of those things, especially learning and these are blazing forth new paths. It's not going to happen until the end of the month, but we're getting downloads around maybe revisiting things and mapping out a new path with our relations. And so that is a major part of the story. Until it goes direct, we're really not going to see those things implemented, right? We first get the insights, we need to digest them. And then when it goes direct, can go forward out in the world with the insights that we received. Gets very non-linear in eclipse season, and then Mercury goes retrograde. That's really non-linear. There's a lot of non-linear. So if you're feeling up and down, as I have very much up and down, crying, sad, depressed, lying on bed, hugging my pillow. You know, it's like some ugly cries, and then I'm happy, and then it's like it's just we're going through these waves. So just give yourself a lot of space. So anyway, the so you know I would say too, with Mercury being retrograde, being a part of this eclipse story, it's like it's until he meets up with the sun and gets refreshed, right? It's not going to happen until a few days after the eclipse. Mercury is part of this eclipse message is saying, I'm exhausted. It's like if you imagine driving an electric car and it's almost on empty, and then you have to pull up to that pump, right? And you have to get this electric juice, you know, at the electric charging station. And then your car is filled, and then you can carry on. But until then, you feel sluggish, you feel worn out. So what this eclipse message and this Mercury retrograde message is saying is like, we're tired of fighting. We don't want to fight anymore. This is an invitation from the universe. No matter where this falls in your chart, of course, the area that the eclipse falls in your chart is going to be the area of your life where this is really going to speak to. But generally speaking, this area, it's like saying, look, I'm exhausted. I'm tired of thinking the old ways. I am tired of being a doormat. I'm tired of compromising and having to put up with like people who are maybe toxic or shallow, you know, surface shallow, South Node Libra, right? The shadow side of Libra is like, oh, we must maintain appearances. We must look good. And it's like, we're done. We're tired of that. And there's a change of mind that is being we're being called to really look at and undo and unravel those patterns. And where we want to lean into is a mystical, intuitive, spiritual mind. Why is that? Because Mars is sorry, Mercury inside of Aries. Aries is a sign that's ruled by Mars. So Mercury is like staying in the Airbnb of Mars. Well, where is Mars right now? This is where our conversation goes. Mars is in Pisces and it's about to connect for the eclipse with Saturn. And what does that mean? Well, there it is. It's we're getting our clues by unraveling these layers. So it's saying, look, it's time to stop fighting and competing. Consider the energy of being proactive rather than angry and impulsive and reactive, the reactive mind. It's like, let's have a retrograde. Let's literally from the Latin retrograde, step back. So stepping back from the normal, I'd say, ways or I would say the shadow part of Aries, you know, arguments and fighting. Instead, look at the positive side. You know, Aries gets a bad rap. It's like, oh, you know, it's like arguments and fights and violence. It can be, of course, yes. And we want to look at that more, the other side of it, which is with Mars and Pisces right now, it's this Mercury retrograde is asking us to consider healing, mystical, intuitive, spiritual mind, right? That this is where we want to lean into to have this breakthrough. Okay, so solar eclipse, April 8th. The big things this month, the solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, the other huge conversation, the biggest transit of the year, a Jupiter conjunction lining up with Uranus. And as if that weren't enough this month, we have a comet Pons-Brooks visiting us, which only happens every 71 years. So that's a big deal too. So I'm like, oh my God, like it all comes It's like, and Mercury goes retrograde and messes up with your hard drive and there in your internet, which appears and disappears. It's like, right. Stay centered, ride it out. Yes, so April 8th, total solar eclipse. This eclipse is very powerful. I want to talk to you about that because as we have probably seen on the internet, it's like all this, you know, there's a million, literally millions of videos that are showing this eclipse with, you know, oh, this is like God, the end of the world is like, you know, religious figures, evangelical figures saying, you know, this is it, man, this is the apocalypse and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, the word apocalypse, as Andrea reminded me on the podcast that I'm about to release, that word literally means revealing. So, yes, well, eclipses, then you could argue that they're always apocalyptic because they always reveal. Eclipses will reveal a bl where we have a blind spot. The place in our chart where it occurs, first to the 12th houses, each represents a specific area of our lives. So where it lands is where we are asked to consider, hey, guess what? There's a blind spot here. There's something in front of you, like the moon moving in front of the sun, right? It blocks out the sun. It conceals, then it reveals. So it's like saying, hey, you know what? There's something right in front of you, like the sun, right? But it's blocked by the moon. There's something in front of you, but you can't see it. It's a blind spot. And so eclipses will help show us, this is the divine's way of saying, you got a blind spot here. And in order to move on and transform your life, you really need to address this. It's like it's important, it's big, it's gonna help you. Don't be scared that the sun goes behind the moon for a few minutes, you know, somewhere in the world, in this case, in the United States. Don't be scared. It's everything is there for a purpose. Anyway, or as I say, it's all good. You know, of course, first you might feel like it puts you through the ringer, depending on how it's configured in your chart. But it is there to open our eyes to what needs to be healed. The old ways of relating are done, and this is a new beginning. And major endings, major beginnings. It's always the way of any eclipse. Major endings, major beginnings. So with the total solar eclipse in this sign of Aries, of course, the sun is exalted in the sign of Aries. The sun is loves Aries because in the northern hemisphere, it mirrors the progressions of light. So you've got the sun is increasing in light, right? Because spring, March to April, sun's in Aries. So it's springtime. Everything's on the increase. The sun is our vital nature, the vital life force, life itself. And so this, the sun speaks loudly, you know, loves being in its home sign of Leo and its exalted sign of Aries. So there's a lot of support and a lot of the sun's able to do very well in when it's in the sign of Aries. So that's a very powerful total solar eclipse. The sun's exalted. It's an incomplete, right? It's not annular where there's a yellow ring around the moon. It is actually completely blocked out. And that's kind of rare. And the last one, as we know, was in 2017 in the United States. I saw it. I was actually in the path of totality. It was a life-changing experience. It was what helped me launch completely into astrology. It was a major time for me. And it was in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, was called the point of totality, or the point of longest duration, was in this little town in Kentucky, which happened to be the birthplace of Edgar Cayce. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people on the internet saying, well, the two paths across 2017 and 2024 that make an X, and it's this area called Little Egypt, because all these towns are named in after Egyptian towns. I'm so okay. Can I just say, I am like so done listening to Little Egypt. It's like there's so much more that I could tell you about that. Maybe I should do that in a separate podcast. But that is the whole crisscross in that part of the world is very, very sacred. It's a very incredible area. I have to say too, there's a lot of towns that are named after Egyptian. I know New York State, where there's Phoenicia, New York, and it's near Woodstock. I mean, there's many, many places that have old Egyptian, you know, sounding names, because in the late 19th century, when we had the first huge population explosion in the United States, it was the trend to name things, you know, Greek Revival architecture, and they often named towns after these ancient cities. So it's not like just this area of Southern Illinois, Missouri area. It's really everywhere, but whatever. I will say that that area is a very powerful area for many reasons. One, interesting that Edgar Cayce incarnated there, you know, in Hopkinsville. Now, I have to say that, to be exact, Hopkinsville is not in the path of totality this time. It's only like an hour or so away, but it's still in the very close to it. But that whole area there is a very, very powerful It has a huge quartz crystal. There's a lot of quartz crystal under there. You won't read about that perhaps in a book or anything. It's just that I had this vision when I was there. Wonderful story, but long story short, I remember tuning in spiritually into that area. And there's this massive, massive crystal underneath. So it was not a, it was no accident that Edgar Cayce, who was totally psychic, right? They called him America's the sleeping prophet. And he had a lot of apocalyptic messages about earth changes in the United States and elsewhere. And so, yes, it's very much connected with that. But and the fact that the quartz crystal's there, it's also in the 38th parallel, which is they call that the UFO highway. And there's even, I think, a book or two written about that going through the United States, and that a large number of UFOs have been sighted along those lines or along that area. And certainly, Hopkinsville had its UFO story. I think it was 60 years to the day that the Great American Eclipse happened in 2017 was the anniversary of this UFO Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where like these the this farmer, this man heard and saw alien beings like walking on his roof, and was it became known urban legend. They called it Little Green Men. Now they weren't green, but you know how urban legends go. And every year the city of Hopkinsville has a parade that's still to this day called the Little Green Men Parade. So it's like they celebrate this thing. But this was no laughing matter, because this obviously the whole family was very disturbing. They went to the police department. They went, I wasn't intending to say all this stuff, but I'm just, it's just, I guess it's just time to share it. So bear with me. I remember I'm just like, why, where's it leading up to? This is a very potent area. So the fact that this new eclipse is crisscrossing it, yeah, X marks the spot, but look at it with mystical eyes, right? Mercury retrograde in Aries. Look at this with Mars in Pisces. Look at this mystically. Do not surface view this eclipse. There are some deep roots here. But anyway, this family, getting back to the family of that the Little Green Men thing, they went to the police department. It was a, you could read about the whole story on the internet. It's fascinating. They the police kind of made note of it, but it was just too strange for words. Nobody could ever make sense of anything. The man had his testimony. He knew what he saw. Yeah, and maybe there was ridicule, as there often is when you have these other dimensional events that are nonlinear. And so I just found it fascinating that the day of this, the Great American Eclipse, was also the anniversary of this UFO encounter. And there is another one that happened very close by that is in the path of totality in where the X marks the spot. And it's, yeah, it's pretty wild. You know what? I'm gonna tell you that at the end of this video, that to finish what happened there, because it's part of a Jupiter Uranus conjunction story. So put that pause button on the rest of that story. I'm gonna walk you through the rest of the dates here that we want to be aware of, and then we'll wrap it up with the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do weirdness, but crazy, wild, totally nonlinear coming up, folks. Let me tell you, it's amazing. But anyway, okay, so pause button on that mystical conversation. Let us come back to the linear lane. Go back in there. April 11th. All right, so the April 8th total solar eclipse. It's a long one, 4 minutes long. That means that the effects of that eclipse can last up to 4 years. So for every minute that an eclipse is out there, and sometimes it's only a few seconds if it's a new eclipse. This one is going to be 4 minutes. The Great American Eclipse was 2 minutes and change. So this is going to be twice as long. And so that's for every minute, it translates to a year. And so, yeah, lots to say about that. A lot of resonance. So this is like a seed that's planted on April 8th, and then it will fetter out, right? It's like this stone thrown into a pond, and then it has ripple effects. Certainly, every month when the moon passes that point, 19 degrees Aries, is going to be, you get a whiff of the messages of that eclipse. We really look at Mars. Mars is a big, the instigator. When Mars crosses that eclipse point, and it will at the end of May, then the promise and the potentialities of come to the fore of this eclipse for you in whatever area of your life where this is landing, whatever area of your chart. So there's a lot of movement and on action taken. Either we take action and step forward, or something that gets unlocked. So you watch late, I was like the 24th or so of Mar of May, when Mars will pass that point. So that's really exciting. Okay, so this particular solar eclipse is the big news, of course, about it. It is in, as you can see here, here it is for Washington, D.C., in the ninth house, 19 degrees, 24 minutes, 1924, sun and moon, right? It's always a new moon when you have a solar eclipse. And it's exactly to the minute conjunct Chiron. Now, I know a lot of people have talked about that, but what I think I've never heard this before, but again, I am the nerdy researcher, right? It's like the laundry takes a while to wash because I'm sitting here looking things up. I've always been this way. The nuns didn't know what to do with me in Catholic school. They did give me A's, though. I did very well in English. Anyway, why is this important? Well, for Americans, it's interesting. This Chiron in the sign of Aries, the United States has Chiron 2 degrees from this eclipse. It's at like 21 degrees. So we are technically in the middle of a USA Chiron return, and it's the fifth Chiron return. Isn't that interesting? So about every 49, 50 years, Chiron comes back to the point it was in our charts when we were born. So that's always an incredible place about a healing, insights about a wound that never seems to heal, no matter what we do. And it come and we get this insight and healing. Well, for the United States, we have this Chiron return. So this particular eclipse is happening right next to that Chiron return. So this is an enormous healing point for the United States. Look at the Mars war, right? How many people want to keep fighting these wars in the Ukraine, Gaza? We're like fed up. We're not going to be, we don't want to be sending aid. It's like that's an old math response, but these eclipses and our consciousness on the planet now is calling for new, blazing forth new plans and patterns and new courageous initiatives that have nothing to do with the past. That's not about being, compromising and nicey nice and old particular old patterns of being. This is cutting a new way. And in doing so, we are getting, there is a healing that is involved. Now that's collective, but it's also personal. So the fact that Chiron is part of that eclipse story, when you think about it, okay, what is that telling us? Don't believe the lies anymore. We're divine, right? Mars is the ruler there. So Mars in Pisces coming up with Saturn, we're disassembling all the things we were so certain about with our beliefs. This can also be a huge amount of personal healing that's involved of our identity, and it can any if we've had, say, substance abuse issues or addictive patterns, I mean, really any kind of addiction, it doesn't even have to be physical, chemical or substance, it can be just an emotional addiction. This is an opportunity for healing. So there's these new beginnings. It's this feeling of being unfettered from societal conditioning. All the ways society said that we had to be and be strong is like getting undone and unraveled. I found it interesting that in it was just in the news the other day that there are ultra-Orthodox rabbis in Israel that are very upset with the Israeli government because they have always had an exemption to go into military service because they are so they spend all their life, they don't have a job. They're like monks, like they just devote their entire life to studying the Talmud and the Torah. And as such, they are exempt from military service. And now the Netanyahu is pressuring these them, you know, like we got to give up this exemption, like everybody's got to be called, and it's like, well, no. And so they're really protesting. So isn't that an interesting example of Mars and Saturn and Pisces? Mars, right, fighting about something, and also the military, right? And Pisces, religion, rules organized religion. So here you can see that there's this upset and the courage it takes to stand up and go, no, we're not going to fight that war. You know, I knew when I saw that months ago when I interviewed S.J. Anderson about this, we talked about the fact that this eclipse happening, that, you know, I said I could very well see people walking off of a battlefield and saying, you know, we're not fighting, we're not doing this, we're like done. And so, you know, here's one example with the people in Israel. But anyway, you know, I would say to you one major question that you might reflect on with that solar eclipse is, who are we if we have no conditioning of what society and government and whoever tells us what to do or how to behave? What happens when we let go of all that? And who am I, right? Aries, I self-identity. Who am I if I don't have all that, if I'm not held back by what I should do or other people say I should do? You know, or having to accommodate what would South Node Libra is, what will people think? So it's about being free of all that and inquiring, wow, you know, what would happen if I let go of that, of what other people thought or think of me? Who would I be? Who would I be if I didn't have all those belief systems that I have been the foundation of my existence? There's a movie that I haven't seen, but I saw the trailer. It's the one that Emma Stone won an Oscar for. It's called Poor Things. And it's apparently about this woman who commits suicide by jumping off a bridge. And there's a doctor, kind of a Dr. Frankenstein type doctor, who brings this body back to life with an infant brain. And so this woman comes to life, but she has this brain of a child. So she awkwardly moves through the world, getting to know this world, and there's no filter. I thought, wow, isn't that an interesting story about how this eclipse, the potential for this eclipse, that this story about this woman who doesn't have a past, right? There's no past that's holding her back. It's just the now, right? So Aries, the here and now, North Node Aries. Wow, what kind of healing with that conjunction with Chiron? What kind of healing would we have if we just walked through the world without all that baggage from the past? And so I just mentioned that because I realized that, wow, that's got a lot of relevance here. Anyway, all right, so much for the eclipse there. That's the basic walkthrough with the Chiron is the major player. And also Jupiter and Uranus are very close to conjunction. So there's this knowledge that we draw on. Jupiter represents knowledge, prophecy, revelation. It's in the feminine Earth's yin sign of Taurus. So it's really like saying, my knowledge and knowingness is not going to come from a book or university or religious dogma or books and analyses of what intellectuals and professors have told me that this is how it is. It's like, no, it's going to come from Taurus, direct experience of the divine, something that you can see, touch, taste, smell, right? That's Taurus, the senses. And this is a radical departure from, obviously, from the past. Radical Uranus, right? Look at the keywords here. Uranus is the Promethean story about Prometheus stole fire from the gods and shared it with mortals, and he got punished for it. It's like, okay, well, the whole Promethean archetype of knowledge taken from higher realms, and where we can, so you could say, our future selves are merging with our future selves. Cerebrospinal fluid, Kundalini awakening. This is all what speaks to the Jupiter Uranus conjunction. Many facets to this, but I find those, I'm really looking and reflecting and feeling what that's like and how that would impact us. So that whole conversation around direct experience of the divine, not what you read in a book, is very much a part of this eclipse, as well as, of course, the conjunction. All right, so April 11th, what happens? Mercury comes into a kazemi in the throne room. Mercury meets up with the sun. So it's like you're having it's the car getting charged with electricity, right? You're the vital force of the sun. So this worn out Mercury that says, I'm tired of fighting, he's come into direct contact. It's like the divine, if you're having a one-to-one conversation with the divine in this beautiful throne room, and you get your ear up close, and the Aries, you could say the shaman, the warrior, the spiritual warrior. You think about that, always look at the sign that it's in. That spiritual warrior leans and whispers in your ear. And it's this magical moment for a few hours on April 11th, where Mercury, 22 degrees, master number, the master builder, is washed clean in the fires of the sun. So he's tired of fighting, but it's like now he's going to fight the good fight, but it's not going to be the old way of fighting. It's like standing up for myself. I'm not going to fight for someone else. I'm going to fight for me. And what is, and correct, I don't mean fight courageously. Think about passion and courage. Those are very positive Aries attributes. So with positivity and with courage and conviction to speak up, Mercury, right? Speaking up for what is right and true and being true to myself. So that is where we want to think. And of course, with Mars and Pisces, thinking and moving in the direction of our dreams. Dreams, Pisces, dreams, mystical visions, right? Maybe we have some download we get in our sleep or in our meditation, and it colors our thinking and it inspires us, and Aries brings us to life that we can go forth in this new way. We could also see, and so once, okay, so once it's connected like that, it gets that whisper in the ear, kind of like in India when the guru comes and whispers a mantra into the ear of the initiate and the devotee, and it's a mantra just for them. They say it once and they say it to the devotee, and it's like, that's your mantra. That's like spoken. It becomes them. So it's kind of like this divine moment where we get this download. So that's another great opportunity for meditation when in those few hours, and you can look it up. And if you don't want to look it up, just email me and I'll tell you where it is in your part of the world, where this the hours where it's going to be exact for you. Anyway, so thinking and moving in the direction of your dreams, very big part of it. It only happens 3 days after the eclipse, is that beautiful divine meeting with the sun. April 19th, there Venus comes up and joins Mercury. So there's it's still retrograde, but it's like, hey, maybe you're reconnecting. There's a sweetness. There's this kind, the compassionate, sweet Venus energy that is coming to assist and help in these endeavors. And so that might mean that you reconnect with an old friend. Venus conjunct in Aries. This is like, oh, somebody from the past, perhaps, or a person you haven't seen in a while. It could be women, daughters, friends, mothers, daughters, sisters. Those are all Venus things. Or it could just be friends. A friend from the past that comes up and reconnects with you that maybe helps you realize more of your true self. Mercury becomes visible as morning star after he goes through the Kazemi, then he comes out the other side. So in this case, Mercury for the last several months has been evening star. Now he's going to be seen in the morning. So Mercury's morning star is like herald of a new day. Like, I got this download and I'm going to go out into the world and I'm just going to announce myself, right? April 20th, then we come to that, like I said, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is exact 21 degrees. And that is going to be, Jupiter is very much intuitive, like I said before, prophetic. It rules prophecy, it rules religion, organized religion, one's intuition. But Jupiter in the sign of Taurus with Uranus is not going to be, this is a sudden interrupt with, say, religious dogma of any kind of religious or spiritual dogma. of a higher not right, so that Uranus is coming in as the a break from the past. Very interesting, because what has been happening right now, especially the United Methodist Church, which is the largest congregation or church in the United States, has been going through for the last few years. Of course, Uranus has been in Taurus for a while, but Jupiter in the sign of Taurus now coming to that conjunction, boy, we're really going to see a major schism. And it's been over the LGBTQ issue. Some people like, yeah, of course, we're supposed to be God's children. Like they are part of our congregation. And then the hardliners are like, no. So there's this split and this revolution from within. Uranus rules revolutions and all that tumult and instability. But that's one example of this coming to the fore, which yes, we will see, you could see some radical departures of this happening, especially around as we get closer and closer to that point in the end of April. Very interesting time, to see. Oh, another spin on it is the financial markets. Your Taurus rules cash, money, bull, the bullion, money in the bank, banking. So you could see some very innovative measures, some maybe technological breakthroughs. Could be some financial instability. I wouldn't doubt that the markets could be very much in flux at that time. They've been talking about digital currency. Well, maybe people are not wanting that, or maybe they might fight back about it. There might be some of that, in the collective going on. So there's new pathways that are being presented, and then how much of that, again, the knowledge with Jupiter and Taurus there, it's like, hey, you know what? Maybe we can just barter, and we don't need to do all this other tech stuff. Coming back to the, we think about Taurus, the simple pleasures of life. So, gardening and being in nature and getting your hands, into the earth, and the revelations that come when we are completely united, because Uranus, we have been broken off. We stand in front of a screen so many hours of the day. Put the dang phone down. And so connecting with nature and what kind of revelations come when we are connected with the divine in as we see it on the earth plane. So yes, embodying earth wisdom, right? Being here now, that's a very Uranian concept. Free from the past, free from the way, oh, that's just the way it's always been done. It's like, no. I'm going to experience God. I'm not going to talk about God. I'm going to know God. I'm going to know the divine from within me, not from what some professor or scholar has to tell me. It's like I need to experience it for myself. Kundalini awakenings could very well be very much so there. But whatever it is, it's definitely discoveries that are outside our norm. That story's coming. Hang on about what we could see as a result of this. I find it fascinating that Comet Pons-Brooks is going to be showing up right at the same time, approaching what's called perihelion, which means its closest approach to the sun. And that's going to be right at the same time as Jupiter and Uranus connect in the sky. There's this otherworldly visitor seen on the earth, right? Well, that's just one part of it. I'm telling you, there's something else even trippier, but hold on there. Let me just finish. I got a couple of more dates here to share with you. Our full moon in Scorpio occurs at the end of the month on the 23rd, 4 degrees of Scorpio. And that's going to be the first full moon after the eclipse spectacle, right? We've had our lunar eclipse, March 25th, solar March, April 8th. Then we go back to quote normal, right? Kind of sorting it out. The Mars rules Scorpio. So Mars, the north node ruler of these eclipses, is going to be the host of this full moon. So he's like, okay, have you integrated the lessons? Have you taken them inside? Have you allowed them to deeply could be some cathartic releases and an assimilation that we've been assimilating these lessons, and it is time to bring all of that, all those deep insights can come to fruition around this time, whenever we have a full moon. But full moons in Scorpio can be some cathartic revelations about secrets and things. Again, where it is in your chart is where you're going to see these things come to light. April 25th, Mercury stations direct, right? So if you feel like your plans have been slowed down or stymied, like trying to get something off the ground, Mercury retrograde is not, the tides are moving us mystically. It's not about being out in the world doing that. It's about getting those deep divine revelations and downloads so that we can take that and move out. When we go out in the world, we have these insights. So after April 25th, things start to move forward again. Of course, it's going to help wonderfully because we have Venus and Jupiter in Taurus and the Sun, Venus and Jupiter in Taurus next month. It's in May. It's going to be fantastic, wonderful, great month for one of the best months of the year astrologically. So we get through this month, we'll have, May, we can enjoy it. April 29th, Venus is out of Aries and enters Taurus, which is her home sign. She's like, okay, I've been the think of Sigourney Weaver as on Alien fighting. She's always playing those gutsy characters, right? And smudged with dirt Aries, right? She's, oh, I have to fight, but I don't really want to fight. But April 29th, she enters Taurus. This is when she puts on her velvet slippers and her little, her satin robe and can be like, okay, I'm more at home this way. Let's have tea on my velvet sofa. It's like, okay, we can integrate and embody all that hard work we've done in the month of April. April 30th, Mars moves into its home sign. So Venus and Mars are both going into their home signs. And so that's where a planet can do its thing the easiest. It's just so much easier to do their work. So Mars in the sign of Aries, initiatives, new pr progress and initiatives, moving after the spending 6, 7 weeks in Pisces, where we're getting these downloads, we're dissolving our belief systems about things, and then we are ready to take those insights and move forward. We're integrating the eclipse lessons. Okay, so we're going to finish this chat today by the rest of that story. Here it is. Are you ready? Okay, we were talking earlier about that eclipse is making that crisscross. X marks the spot. Well, interestingly, that I have to say, it happens to be a very big fault line there. Are you familiar with the New Madrid fault line? The New Madrid fault line is deeper. The San Andreas in California and the Pacific coast is long, as we know, but it's apparently shallower. The New Madrid fault line is a deeper fault line. When it last went off around, was it 1810, 1812, something like that, it rang church bells in Boston. So that's what, 1500, 2000 miles away. So it's interesting that these two are crossing there. And Gordon Michael Scallion, who is a kind of a prophetic, is this man who had these visions around many back in, I think it was the 80s, 90s. He was an accountant, and one day on his computer screen just magically started showing these like apocalyptic pictures. And he wasn't even like a religious person. He was just an accountant, not that accountants can't be religious, but it was just this spontaneous visions that were given to him. And he made this map, this Gordon Michael Scallion map, and you can see where it looks like the United States is split, like out of earth changes, and it's the Mississippi River becomes this like wide ocean. X marks the spot in that area is really rather fascinating. What's also fascinating is the Keys of Enoch, and it's a very sacred book, and you can get a copy of it from the Academy for Future Science. That book talks about the return of the dove, and they show a map of North America with this outline of a dove, like a drawing outline. And where many of these concentric rings of this image appear is right around that area where the eclipse makes an X marks the spot. So between that, the New Madrid fault line, and the 38th parallel UFO highway, that's exactly where all along that from east to west, even, Colorado, all that 38 degrees north latitude is where a lot have been seen. Washington, D.C. is also on the 30, very interesting, right? On the 38th, 38 degrees north. And I don't know if you remember, but when Barack Obama was first inaugurated in 2008, Within minutes, it was. I saw it on CNN. The commentators had their cameras, and they were, showing the inauguration and all the festivities on the steps of the Capitol. And then all of a sudden, there was this camera, the shot of the Washington Monument, exact opposite. And it was boom, boom! All of a sudden, you see these two little things shoot out. And the commentator said, "Hey, what was that? What was that thing?" And it was like these little UFOs that sped by the Washington Monument. Maybe they were just waving and wishing him well, or. I know it was pretty cool, but I'm like, hey, 38th parallel, pretty interesting, not a surprise. But again, you take that west and it goes into Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and also the area where this X marks the spot crossing. So yes, is the United States involved? Yes. With Jupiter conjunction Uranus, would it involve something otherworldly? Yeah, I think so. I think absolutely for sure. Why is that? Well, the final piece of nerdy research of mine. When Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct, the last time they were conjunct was in, it happens about every 12, 13 years. So it's not like it's super rare, but it depends on the sign it's in. Found it interesting that when Jupiter was and Uranus met up in the sign of Libra was the day we landed on the moon. Jupiter, far travel, Uranus, far out, right? Landed on the moon. Uranus's technological breakthrough, right? Well, we landed on the moon, right? That's a pretty damn big technological breakthrough. But that was Libra. In Taurus, the last time it was in Taurus was 1941. The time before that was 1858. But I want to talk to you today about the 1941 because it involves that crisscross solar eclipse. The late degree of Taurus, within a degree or so of where it is now. But it was in May of 1941, and in this little town called Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is in that little diamond patch of where the two crisscross, there was actually a Roswell type incident. So it never got the attention that the Roswell sightings did, which was in 1947. This one was a very similar thing where it was the story goes is that there was this minister gets a call late at night by the local police department, and he says, "Hey, there's been a crash. We need you to come out and say last rites." So he goes out to this field, and instead of seeing a car crash, it's a spacecraft. Like a little UFO that crashed, just like Roswell, like this crashed spacecraft. Inside, there were three beings, and I think two of them were dead, but one was still kind of alive. And these policemen took it out, and they even had these photographs of them, like holding them up, like under the arms and taking pictures. And these pictures, of course, became highly classified. So we only had this man's recollections and firsthand observation. But the fact that they said, do not speak of this ever again. So he had to just keep the lid on it. And then he died in like the early 60s. And on his deathbed, he told his daughter, and he said, "I know what I saw." And all these other people might have tried to deny it, but he told his daughter, who is now, of course, elderly. But the fact that this existed and it never really, it certainly didn't get the press that Roswell did. Maybe the world wasn't ready for it yet. But the point being that it happened on a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. So, whoa, right? This is Uranus, otherworldly Earth, Taurus on the Earth, close encounters of the third kind, actual physical contact. Whoa. Yeah. When it was also in Taurus in 1858 is when Bernadette of Lourdes got her vision, her first vision. She had 18 visits with Mother Mary in a little town in Lourdes, France. Of course, that's all famous. But it's fascinating with having gone to Catholic school. We certainly there was no astro the nuns didn't say, there was this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, and yeah, can you imagine? That'd be cool, man. Don't you want to go to school with teachers openly discuss these things? Well, we have Richard Tarnas's book to help propel us into this age, Cosmos and Psyche, marrying historical events with the astrological lineups. Brilliant book. Took them like 30 years to write. If you haven't bought that book and read it, this is our education. But anyway, just wrapping up here, back to Lourdes. Yes, these things have happened in late degrees, Jupiter and Uranus meeting up in late degrees. Theophany, that's what they call it, theophany. I talk about this in the Progressed USA chart too, a little bit more, but this idea of seeing and having direct experience and visions of the divine, as opposed to epiphany, which means it's on the inside. It's like this realization that comes from within. So, I'm totally excited about this month. Be on the lookout. We could see some very non-linear events and happenings that will, of course, affect us for, look what happened as landing on the moon, and everything that rolled out from that, and everything that rolled out from Bernadette of Lourdes. And now with Cape Girardeau, Missouri, the little UFO incident, of course, the world really didn't know about it, like I said, the way Roswell did, but who knows? We could be seeing more of that. So you just keep your antennas tuned, keep your third eye open just to see what happens. All right, that's all I got for you today. I hope you have enjoyed our little chat, and let me know what you think of this. I know I'm crazy. If you think it's as crazy as my hairstyle, yes, you could think that way. It's all right. It's cool. We all have our spectrums of reality and comfort zones. But like I said, with Uranus, it's like expect the unexpected. Yeah, we're all here for the ride. Let me know how you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's up for you in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. If you find this information useful, pass it along to friends. We're all in this together. All right, everyone. Much love to you all. This is Irliana Samsara. Until next time, this is Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com. Thank you all for listening. Namaste.